The parsha this week is Parshat Vayeshev. The topic that we're going to discuss is going to take us on a journey through just about all of the parshiot from Vayeshev until the end of Sefer Bereshit. We're going to look at Vayeshev, Miketz, Vayigash, and Vayechi. And we're going to deal with one question alone. The tragedy that begins to unfold in Parshat Vayeshev is Mechirat Yosef, the brothers selling Yosef into slavery. The one question that I want to deal with is, did Yaakov Avinu ever discover what the brothers did to Yosef? Did he ever know until the end of his life that his children had sold their brother off into slavery? That's the one question. This is what we're going to deal with. For all of you who've jammed in here in the last minute, one question that we're going to deal with. Did Yaakov ever find out that Yosef was sold into slavery? I want to begin by citing a Ramban. The Ramban is in Parshat Vayigash. In Parshat Vayigash, Yosef has already revealed himself to his brothers. He sends them back home. They return home. And in Parshat Vayigash, Perek Mem Hei, Pasuk Chavav, it says, Vayagidu lo leimor, they told Yaakov, so saying, O Yosef Chai, Yosef is still alive, v'chihu Moshe el v'chol eretz Mitzrayim, and he's ruling over all of Egypt. Vayofog libo, and his heart went out, kilo hem in lehem, he couldn't believe it, it was such a surprise. Vayedabru elovet kol divrei Yosef, and they said to him all of the words of Yosef, asher dibar aleihem, that Yosef had spoken to them. Vayaret ha'agalot, and he saw the wagons, asher shalach Yosef lo seid oto, he saw the wagons that Yosef had sent to bring him back in. Vatechi ruach Yaakov aviyem, the life of Yaakov, the life of their father Yaakov came back to him, became a new man. Says the Ramban, Vayedabru elov et kol divrei Yosef, they spoke to him all of the words of Yosef. Yir'eli al derech ha-pshat, it seems to me, according to the pshat, the simple understanding of the text of Torah, Shelohu gad li Yaakov kol yomov, that all of his life Yaakov was never told ki echov machru et Yosef, that his brothers sold Yosef. Avo, so the Ramban says al derech ha-pshat, it seems that Yaakov was never told that Yosef was sold into slavery. So what did he think? The big question now becomes, how did Yaakov picture what had taken place on that fateful day? Before I complete this Ramban in Parsha Vayigash, I'm going to take you back to a Ramban, a most magnificent Ramban in Parsha Vayeshev. This week's Sedra. And we're going to be referring back to the Sedra. In Parshat Vayeshev, it says the following. That Yaakov called Yosef, Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Yud Bet, Sheni. Vayelchu Echov, his brothers went off, Lidot et Son Avihem, to graze pasture the sheep of their father in Shechem. Vayom Yisrael, Yosef Yisrael said to Yosef, Halo Achecho Roim B'Shechem, behold, your brothers are grazing the sheep in Shechem. Lecho go ve'eshlochacho aleim, and I will send you unto them. Vayom Alo, Yosef said, Hineni, here I am, I'm ready to go. Vayomalo say, Yaakov said to him, Lechna, please go to Eyet Shlom Achecha, see how your brothers are, that Shlom Hatzon, how the sheep are, the Hashiveni Dover, and bring me back an answer. Vayishlachehu me Emek Chevron, he sent him from the valley of Chevron, Vayavo Shema, and he came to Shem. Vayimtzaehu Ish, and a man found him, Vihinei To'eb Asadeb, behold, Yosef is wandering through the field. The man asked him, Matavakesh, what is it that you're looking for? What do you seek? Vayomer, Yosef said, I'm looking for my brothers. Hagidan only, please tell me, Efo Heim Roin, where are they with the sheep? Vayomer Ha'ish, the man said, Nasu Mizeh, they have journeyed from here. Kishamati Omrim, because I heard them saying, Nilcha Dotoina, we are going to Dotan. Yosef went after his brothers and he found them in Dothan. Here is the mysterious man who meets him in the field. Rashi sees the man as being a malach. Rashi says, "Vayimtzei wish a man found him, ze Gavriel." Shenemer, as it says, "Vohoish Gavriel." Fascinating man. He's there, it seems, at the right moment. And he doesn't tell him, Yashar, Yashar, Visham Tish'al. He tells Yosef precisely where his brothers are. Says the Ramban on this pasuk, a man found him, Yomar. This comes to tell us, Ki hu to'em min haderech, Yosef had wandered from the road, v'lo hoyo yodea ono yela, he doesn't know where to go. V'nichnas basada, he went into a field, ki b'mokom hamir e haydam v'akeshotam, he looked for them in places where people graze their cattle. V'yari hakatuv bazeh lahagid. The pasuk tells us this story. What do we need the story about him getting lost? Do we need a story that he stopped in a gas station to find out the directions to get to Shechem? Why is the story necessary? Says the Ramban, Yaricha Katov, the Pasuk tells us, Lahagid ki sibot rabot ba'u elav shahayara u'ilad sorbo. Ramban gives two answers. One answer is that Yosef had good reason to give up the whole journey and return home. He could have said, I went to Shechem, I looked for them, and I couldn't find them, so he goes back home. He had good reason not to complete the journey. Aval hakol saval lichvod aviv. For the honor of his father, he suffered everything. Ready to go through all of that. Ulahodienu od. And the second thing. Lahodienu od, to tell us another thing. Magnificent five words of the Ramban. Ki hagizera emet v'hacharitzut sheker. The divine decree is truth, and whatever man may attempt is sheker, is falsehood. When there is a divine plan, nothing stays the divine plan from being fulfilled. Here, what's beginning now is the journey of Klal Yisrael to Mitzrayim. What's beginning now is really the march of the Shvatim to slavery and from slavery to peoplehood. We're talking about the journey to Sinai, to history, is beginning now. Yosef is going to have to go down to Mitzrayim. They're going to have to follow him. And take a look, here is a master plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And at the very first step, the plan goes awry. Something goes wrong. Yosef has to meet up with his brothers. He goes to Shechem and he doesn't find his brothers. The very angels in heaven must be tense, waiting to find out what's going to happen. Yosef has to meet his brothers. Everything has to begin now. You know what happens? The Rebbein Shlomo makes sure there's a man. There's a man out in the field who heard where the brothers went to. He stops Yosef and he asks him, what are you looking for? I'm looking for my brothers. I know where they are.
So the Ramban is telling us you should know ki hagzeira emes, God's divine decree is truth, it will be fulfilled. The hachadizut and the attempt upon man, with any effort that it may be, in order to frustrate that plan, sheker, will never be. Ki zimen lo hakodesh baruch hu mora derech, God prepared for him a guide, shalomi dato, without his knowledge. I have a feeling the Ramban may be, neither Yosef knows that this man is there in order to make sure that he's going to meet up with his brothers. The man himself doesn't know. The Ramban does not learn like Rashi that this was a malach. This is a man, a human being. We act and we never know what part of the divine plan we are part of. The man didn't know. And therefore the Ramban says, that's what the Chazal meant when they said, ki ha'ishim ha'ela, these people are malachim, angels. They don't have to be angels, they are the messengers of God. The man was there at the right moment with the correct information. And I imagine the malachim in heaven rest more easily as Yosef goes on to his destiny, which is the beginning of the destiny of Klal Yisrael. Shelo al chinam hoya kol ha-sipur hazeh. This whole story was not for naught. Lahutiyenu, it comes in order to tell us, ki atzat Hashem hi takum. God's counsel and God's plan will be fulfilled. And in fact, what the Ramban is saying over here is that during all of these parshiyot, people are going to act, they're going to do, they're going to speak, and they're doing it as a result of their own free will. What they are unaware of is that while on the revealed level, people are acting, behind the scenes, it's all part of a divine plan. The Rebbeinu Shlomo is acting. What are the first words that Yosef says to his brothers after he reveals himself to them 22 years later? So he says, don't be worried. Lo atem shalachtem oti heinot. You're not the ones who sent me here. Elokim shalachani. God sent me so that I should be lemichya. I should be able to provide you with the food that you need. So that means here go all of these parshiyot. So much is taking place. And Yosef is the one who sees the truth. You think, yes, you sold, you sent, you're the ones that did it all part of plan. Elokim Shlachan. That's the Ramban here. Now I'm taking you back to the Ramban that we began with, where the Ramban says, Al derech habshat, Yaakov never knew that Yosef was sold. So what did he think? What did he think? He finds out later that Yosef is alive. So the Ramban says, you know what Yaakov thought until the end of his days? It was his own fault. Because he had given instructions to Yosef, go to Shechem, to your brothers in Shechem. As he began to ask questions, and even when he asked questions of the brothers, when they bring the many-colored coat, all dripping with blood, where did you find it? Dothan, wait a minute. I sent him to Shechem. He must have gotten lost. He walked through the fields. You mean you weren't in Shechem? But I thought you were. 17-year-old boy must have gotten lost someplace between Shechem and Dothan, torn apart by Chayoro, a beast. So the Ramban says, Aval Choshav, Yaakov thought ki hayatoe basadeh, he wandered through the field, the hamotzim oto, those who found him, when he later learns that Yosef was sold off into slavery, those who found him, lokhu, they took him umachru oto on the time and sold him to Egypt. Now the Ramban says, by a process of elimination, there couldn't have been anybody who would have told Yaakov what happened. Ki, none of the brothers would have gone over to father and say, Father, you know what we did? Yosef, we sold him into slavery. He says, no. None of the brothers would have done that. Because they would have been frightened for their lives. Lest
he'd get angry and curse them. Tasheros, as he did with Reuven, Shimon, and Levi.
Who else could have told him? Yosef could have told him?
Says the Ramban, no. Yosef b'musaro hatov. Yosef was a tzaddik, an ethical and moral individual. What was he going to do? He was going to tell his father, "Father, do you know what they did to me?" No. Yosef b'musaro hatov lo ratzol hagidlo, didn't want to tell him. V'lakach nema. That's why it says at the end of Torah, psukim that we already learned, they come back from the Levaya of Yaakov, the brothers say to Yosef, Avichot Tzivo, your father commanded before he died that you should forgive us our terrible sin. Ramban says, would Yaakov have known what the brothers did to Yosef? He would have said that himself to the brothers before he died. He would have begged of Yosef to forgive the brothers. V'ilu yoda Yaakov binyan hazeh, would Yaakov have known? Hayaroy lehem sheichalu pnei avim b'motal. They should have asked, Tata, you're going to die. You have to make sure that Yosef will not repay us in kind. And then, look, you'd start with, they would not have to make up a story that your father commanded. That's the Ramban. The position of the Ramban is Yaakov never learned the truth. And the Ramban began it by saying, Al derech ha-pshat, according to the pshat. Why pshat? Because the Medrash clearly seems to indicate that Yaakov did at some point find out. The fact is that Rashi learns that Yaakov did know. Where does it make a difference? Do you know where it makes a difference? The difference is in Parashat Vayechi. When Yaakov condemns Shimon the Levi, so he says, Shimon the Levi Achim, Shimon and Levi are brothers. Klei chomos mechedotem, their weapons are weapons of violence. Sodom al tovom nafshi v'kol amatechet kevodi. Ki ba'apom, because with their anger, horgu ish, they killed a man. Uvedet sonam, with their will, it grew sure, they uprooted sure. Rashi says, Shimon v'Levi achim, Shimon and Levi are brothers. Ve'etzor achad, one counsel, al Shechem v'al Yosef. Rashi says clearly, they were the ones who went against Shechem and against Yosef. Vayomru ish el ochiv, because Rashi in Parshat Vayechi refers back to our Sedra. I'm Perek Mem Ted, Posek Vav. So Rashi also gives us a process of elimination. Rashi tells us that it had to be Shimon and Levi who wanted to kill Yosef. Vayomru ish el achiv, they said one to another, Va'atah now lechu v'nahargehu, in this week's Seder, they say, let's go kill it. Mihen, Rashi asks, who are the ones that could have planned to kill Yosef? Im tomar, if you're going to tell me Reuven or Yehuda, it can't be Reuven or Yehuda, harei lo hiskimu v'hadigatot, they did not agree to kill it. Reuven put him in the pit. Yehuda is the one who said sell him. In Tomer, if you're going to tell me the sons of the Shvachot, the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, Yosef was friendly with them. They would not have been the ones who wanted to kill him. Harelo haitasin atam shvema. Their hatred was not a hatred against them. Shenema, as it says, and I was said, for whom not? At B'nai Bilhah, at B'nai Zilpah. He played with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah. Yisachar and Zvulun, were they the ones who wanted to kill him? No. Lo hayu medabrin b'fnei acheyem hagedolim mehem. They would not have spoken up in the presence of their older brothers. Al korchach, perforce, we must say, when it says in our Sedra that one said to the other, let us kill him, it had to be Shimon the Levi. They're the ones who the father called brothers. So Rashi is saying very clearly that when Yaakov condemns Shimon the Levi, it's because they wanted to kill Yosef. And further, when it says, Ba'apam, with their anger, Horgu ish, they killed a man, that was Shechem, Uveritzonam, and with their will, it grew Shor, they wanted to uproot Shor. Who is Shor? Shor is Yosef. As Moshe says, Bechor Shoro Hodolo, the Karneda Ein Karnot, that is Yosef. There's another place where it makes a difference. And that is in the next bracha when Yaakov speaks to Yehuda. So he says, Yehuda, your brothers are going to praise you. Your hand is going to be be'oref for your back on the back of the neck of your enemies. Yishtachavu lecha b'nei avicha, the brothers, the sons of your father will bow down to you. Gur aryeh Yehuda. Yehuda is a young lion. Miteref b'ni alita. Miteref b'ni, from tearing my son, alita, you rose and were removed. Says Rashi, do you know what miteref b'ni alita? Miteref. Mimasha choshadeticha. I suspected you, B'tarov Toraf Yosef. I suspected you, Yaakov said to him. I suspected you of being the one who tore apart Yosef. Who's the chayaro, the beast that tears him apart? Yehuda is the lion. I'm sorry, Yehuda. I suspected you, but I was wrong. Zeh Yehuda, that's Yehuda, who's compared to an aryeh. B'ni alita, silakta et atzmecha. You removed yourself from it. You have no part in the attempt or even thought of killing Yosef. And you said, Ma betav, what benefit is there if we put him to death? That's how Rashi learned. So Rashi clearly, according to the Medrash, is learning that Yaakov knew, and therefore he condemns Shimon the Levi, and Yehuda, he says, Yehuda, I suspected you, but you're innocent. The Ramban learns different shat over here. The Ramban learns, as far as Shimon Velevi is concerned, it's quite simple. He simply learns that the Ba'afam Horgu Ish Uveritzonam Ikru Shor is not talking about Yosef at all. It's only talking about, it only means Shem, nobody else, only Shem. And Uveritzonam Ikru Shor, the Shor that he's talking about, so the Ramban gives two pshat, and one pshat is Shor meaning the wealth of Shem. First, you wanted to destroy the people of Shem. Over its own, you wanted to take all of their wealth. Another pshat Ramban says, Shor comes from the word Shur. Shur is a fence, a wall. In Parsha Vayechi, it says about Yosef, Yaakov says, Bonot tzadu alei Shur, the daughters of Mitzrayim stood on the walls in order to look at Yosef. Biritzonam, it was their will to uproot a walled city. They destroyed a major fortress, Shechem. What do we do with the pasuk by Yehuda, Miteref b'ni alita? So here the Hashban tells us, Miteref means, after Yehuda is going to tear apart the enemies of Israel, B'ni, my son Yehuda, Alita, after you destroy the enemies of Israel, you're going to go and you're going to live in absolute security. The Hashbam says, Lo yavo oyev lahachlitcha, no enemy is going to come to frighten you, lahakimcha mimekomcha, and to pick you up from your place. Zehu ikar pshuto, that's what it's talking about. In other words, according to the Hashbam and the Ramban, Mipedeth, from tearing apart the enemies of Israel, B'ni Alita, you, my son, Yehuda, you have grown. And the Hashban says, the Hamefarsh of Mechirat Yosef, the one who says that this is talking about the sale of Yosef, the Hashban is referring to his Zayde Rashi, who says that it's talking about the sale of Yosef. Lo yada v'shita shel pasuk su, does not know the meaning of this pasuk. There are times at which the Einikel said strong things to the Zayde. V'lo b'chiluk tamim klal, and does not know how to divide the pasuk according to the trop, according to the tamei hanikina, according to the Ramban and the Rashban, what it means is miteref. Miteref, how do you read it? Miteref b'ni alita or miteref b'ni alita? Rashi is learning that it means miteref b'ni. From that I suspected you, that you had torn apart my son Yosef, alita, you have removed yourself. You are innocent. The Rashbam is learning miteref, after you tear apart the enemies of Israel, B'ni, my son, Yehuda, Olito, you rise to greatness. So we now have the two opinions. The two opinions, basically, Rashi and the Ramban. According to the Ramban, Yaakov never learned the truth. According to Rashi, he knows the truth. He knew the truth. The question now becomes, according to Rashi, is there a moment at which Yaakov begins to suspect the truth? A beautiful Rashi. An absolutely magnificent Rashi. For this, I'm going to take you into Parshat Miketz. Let's go into Parshat Miketz. All right. Parshat Miketz, Perek Membed, Pasuk Choftet. We'll read a few psukim quickly. This is the brothers are now returning from their first journey to Mitzrayim. Vayavoh el Yaakov Aviyem, they came to their father Yaakov, Arzo Knan, the land of Knan, Vayagidulo, they told him at Kol HaKorot, Otam Leimor, everything that happened to them. And they said, Diber Ho'ish Adonai Haaretz, the master of the land, spoke with us, Kashot, difficult words. And he accused us of being spies. Vayitin Otanu Kimeraglim et Haaretz. And we told him, we're honest people, we're not spies. Shneim Osar Anachnu Achim B'nei Avinu, we are 12 brothers, of one father. Ha'echad Einenu, one is no longer Ba'akaton, and the small one, Hayomet Avinu Be'eretz Kanan, the young one, the baby, is with the father in the land of Canaan. So the man who was the master of the land said, with this I will know that you are saying the truth. One brother remains here, take home the food that you need for your family. Bring your young brother to me, and I will know that you're not spies, that you are honest people. Then I will give you back your brother, and you'll be able to do business in the land. They are empty in their sacks. Each man finds the money that he had paid is there with the grain in the sack. They saw the bundles of money, they and their father, and they were frightened. Next pasuk. Vayomer aleihem Yaakov aviem, Yaakov their father said to them, Otishi kautem, you have bereaved me. Yosef einenu, Shimon einenu. Yosef is no more, Shimon is no more. That Binyamin tikachu, you're going to take Binyamin, olai hoyu kulana. All of them, the tragedy of all of them will be upon me. Says Rashi, Otishi kautem, you have bereaved me. Malame, this comes to teach us. Shechoshdan, he suspected them. Shema haraguhu, he suspected them. Maybe they killed Shimon, O Machru, or they sold him to Yosef, as they had done to Yosef. Why does Rashi say that Yaakov suspects them? What happened? Why does Yaakov say, O Tishi Kaltem, you have bereaved me? The genius of Rashi. For 22 years, the brothers had been careful. And when they made the first slip of the tongue in 22 years, the antenna of Yaakov Avinu picked it up so loud and so clear and so quickly. What was the slip of the tongue? Slip of the tongue. When they said to their father, we were talking to this man in Egypt and we told him that we are 12 brothers. V'ha'echad, and one of them, einenu. What does einenu mean? Why didn't they say v'ha'echad, mate, and one is dead? Didn't we describe how they must have talked for 22 years? Whenever they mentioned Yosef's name, they must have said zecher tzadik livracha, Hashem yinkom damo, etzol zayin aguda beta for us all. First time in 22 years, a slip of the tongue. Einenu is not the term that you use about somebody who is dead. In Parshat Vayeshev, this week's Sedra, when Reuven returns to the pit and he looks into the bor and Yosef isn't there, he says, Hayeled einenu, the boy isn't there, v'ani ono ani bo, where am I going to go, what am I going to do? At the beginning of Parshat Vayigash, when Yehuda is talking to Yosef in defense of Binyamin, so he says, we were 12, v'ha echad meit, and one is dead. And Rashi says over there, he said, one is dead, because he was afraid that if he says, one of them is einenu, Yosef will say, bring that one to me too. The word einenu is not used about somebody who is dead. And I'm going to prove it. But that's the pshat, that's what Rashi says. Listen to the pasuk now the way Rashi hears it. Otishi, otishi kaltem, you are the ones who have bereaved me. Yosef einenu, v'shimon einenu. Same word, huh? Yosef, Shimon. Are they both in the same category? Yaakov picked up that one slip of the tongue. And therefore he suspected them. All right. Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. You all know the pasuk. Oh, will you? You will recognize the pasuk and more than that. You're going to see a relationship between that pasuk and this week's Sedra. Ko Omar Hashem. Kol Beroma Nishma Nihi Bechi Tamrurim Rochel Mivako Alboneha Me Anolihi Nochem Alboneha Ki Eine Nu. Rochel cries for her children. Bitter tears. She refuses to be consoled, Alboneha, about her children, Ki Einenu, because they aren't. What does it mean they aren't? They're not here. But they're someplace. What does it say in this week's Sedra about Yaakov? Vayimo'ein lehitnachem. He refused to be consoled. He doesn't know yet that Yosef is Einenu. But Rachel knows about Alboneha, about her children, Ki Einenu, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells her, don't worry. Shavu me'eretz oyev, shavu gonim legvulam. They will return. See, here we have it. This is Rashi's job. Rashi says that Yaakov, so sensitive to every word that was used with regard to Yosef, the moment that he heard the word Einenu, he knew that something is wrong. Yosef Einenu, Shimon Einenu. Now you'll take Binyamin Olai Hayukalona. The Lamed, this comes to teach us that he suspected them. I want to conclude, it'll take me a little while. One medrash, famous, I consider it a famous medrash, a medrash of which only one excerpt, one brief excerpt, is brought by Rashi in Parshat Vayeshev, but I want to learn the text of the medrash. I once learned it with you in a shir. Some of you will remember the medrash as soon as I begin to say it. Unbelievably powerful medrash. A medrash tanchuma. The medrash tanchuma on this week's Sedra says the following. And it's, of course, directly related to the question that we've asked. Did Yaakov ever know what happened to Yosef? Says the medrash tanchuma the following. Omru. After they sold him off into slavery, they said, Nacharim beinenu, let us make a vow, a ban of excommunication, a curse between us. Shelo yagid echad mimenu liyakov, that not a single one of us should go tell Yaakov, Avinu, our father. Amalahan, Yehuda, so Yehuda said, wait a minute. Reuven eino kan, Reuven is not here. The ban of excommunication, the claw of the curse, needs a minion. Ein hacheidem mitkayem ela ba'asara. Ma osu, so what do they do? They only have nine. Remember, Yosef is not there. Binyamin is at home. Reuven wasn't there that day. So Yehuda says, we only have nine. So the Medrash says, shitful ha'kodesh baruch hu ba'o tol chedem, They took God in as the tenth, not tenth man, the tenth entity to that minion. Shelo yakid
shelo yagid laviem, that he shouldn't tell their father. Kiven shiorak Ruvein balayla lo'oto abor, Ruvein went that night. He came back to the pit lo'oto to bring Yosef out of the pit. V'lo motzo, he didn't find him. Kora et begodav, he tore his garments and he cried out. Chozal le'echov, he came back to his brothers and he said to them, Hayeled einenu, v'ani ono anipo, the child isn't there, where will I go to? He gidu lo et hamaisa, they told him what they did. And they told him that we have made a cherem, nobody is permitted to say a word. The shatak, and he remained silent. The af HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though it says about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we say it in davening every morning, Magid Varav LiYaakov, he tells things to Yaakov, Hukav Mishpatav LiYisrael, Dov HaZeh Lo Higid, this he never told him. Mipnei HaKherem, God also did not tell because of the cherem. Nobody can tell. Therefore, the Medrash concludes by saying, Omar Yaakov, Yaakov said, Torof, Torach Yosef, Yosef has been torn apart. Rashi in this week's Sedra, on the words, Torof, Torach Yosef, when in Perek Lamed Zayin Pasuk Lamed Gimel, so Rashi simply says, Chayara Acholato, V'lamalo Gilalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why did not HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveal to Yaakov what had happened with Yosef? L'fisha HaKharimu, because they made a Chedem, V'kilu et kol mi sheyigale, they cursed whoever would reveal it. V'shitfu HaKadosh Baruch Hu imohem, and they made HaKadosh Baruch Hu a shutaf, a partner in that minyan. Avul Yitzchok hayo yodea shehu chai. Yitzchok knew that he was alive. Ama, Yitzchok said, Hey Hagaleh, how can I reveal it? How can I reveal it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eino rotzel legalot lo. God doesn't want to tell him. I should tell him. So the Medrash says, there was nobody to tell. Nobody was going to tell this to Yaakov. I have a number of problems with this Medrash. I believe the Medrash is a powerful one, and it has to be understood. Number one, when they decide to make a cheder, no one should reveal. We are talking about a conspiracy of silence. We're talking about a cover-up of a terrible crime that the brothers had committed against Yosef. How in heaven's name does HaKadosh Baruch Hu join a minion of that sort? What do you mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees to be part of that minion? Magid Devarav LiYaakov, he tells everything to Yaakov, but this he won't tell because of the Cheder. The Rebbeinu should have told him. What do you think? I am going to be an accessory after the fact to this terrible crime. Conspiracy of silence, I'm opposed to it. Second, I don't know where there's any halacha that says that you need a minion. You need a minion to make a Cheder. I know that you need a minion for Dovar Shekhi Kedusha, something that of holiness, Baruch Hu, Kaddish, Kedusha, Tefillah B'Tzibur, Kriyas HaTorah, I mean, there are all sorts of things that need a minion. This cover-up is going to be sanctified with a minion and with God part of the minion. Third question, is there ever a moment at which the cherem is lifted? Is there ever a moment at which it could be revealed? The pshat in the Medrash, I believe, is the following. One of the fundamental principles, or the fundamental principle upon which tshuva stands, is one. And that one is hakaras hachet, to know that I sinned. As long as a person does not know that he sinned, he cannot begin the process of tshuva. And there's one certain way not to recognize sin. The ability to blame somebody else. If I can throw the blame onto somebody else, if I can pass the buck, if I can assign guilt, I will never see myself as the guilty one. Who would have been most likely to tell Yaakov? Which of the brothers would have been most likely?
of those who make the original Cheren, who would have been the most likely? The one who would have been most likely would be the one who feels himself less guilty than all of the others. And do you know how he would begin talking to his father? Father, I want you to know what they did.
That would be the most likely scenario.
And as Yehuda and the brothers are standing there after the sale of Yosef, they know that they are all guilty. Because there's nobody that stood up here to stop it. Yisachar, Zvulun, so you didn't plan it. Did you demonstrate? Did you say no? So you were not guilty of an act of commission. You're certainly guilty of an act of omission. If you were opposed to it, you should have stood there and said, no, over my dead body will I commit Yosef to be sold. Which means the most likely person, whichever one it was somebody who was going to shift the blame to somebody else and assign guilt. And as long as you can do that, tshuva is never, ever possible.
Reuven comes later and he understands.
Silence must be maintained. Must maintain silence. But there's more. Whenever blame is being handed out for a tragedy, whenever blame begins or guilt is being assigned for a terrible thing that happens to a Yiddish kid, somewhere along the line, somebody is going to blame the Rebbeinu Shel Olam himself. And where was God? Why didn't he intervene? Always somebody will shift the blame to him. That's Chilul Hashem of the highest order. And more than that, in the event that the brothers, any one of them, can begin the blame game of assigning guilt to somebody else, do you know what would happen? The house of Yaakov would be torn asunder forever and would never be able to be repaired again. And do you know what the story of all of Sefer Bereshit is? The story of Sefer Bereshit is the story of families that are torn apart, brothers that become irreconcilable.
Cain and Hevel.
Simple way to resolve the machloket between the two of them. Cain kills Hevel. Shem coming up at the children of Noah. Cham goes in one way and Shem and Yafet go in a completely different way. Never to be reconciled throughout all of history. Yitzchak and Yishmael. Ad Hayom Hazeh, the next set of brothers. Ad Hayom Hazeh, the struggle continues. From Yehuda, Shomron, Madrid, Washington, December 9th. The next set of brothers, Yaakov and Esau, a struggle, as we learned the psukim, it's a struggle that will go on into history until the very end, until Rav Yavod Tsoyer, until the older one is going to serve the younger one. A struggle throughout all of history. Here, we have a terrible tragedy that is going to tear apart an entire family. And do you know what happens if there is not going to be a family of Yaakov? There will never ever be a Dovah Shepi Kedusha that will be said. There will never be a minion that will say Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruchu, or anything. The story of Sefer Bereshit, and we make it just by the last psukim of Sefer Bereshit. From Parshat Vayeshev until the very end, we're waiting to see, will the rift that has torn the family apart be healed? And you know what? We make it just in time for Chazak, V'nit Chazek at the end of Sefer Bereshit. The family is reconciled. Do you know what that means? History can begin, because there's going to be a clutch. Therefore, the brothers understand that there has to be a cheder. There has to be an enforced silence. Because if there won't be an enforced silence,
We're going to begin blaming one another for the terrible tragedy, and we're going to tear ourselves apart. Not only will we tear ourselves apart, we're going to tear the Rebbeinu Shlomo apart. And therefore the HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes the tenth entity to that minion, because he knows the only hope is if they maintain silence. That's the only hope for Father's Day.
And that's a davar shel kedusha. Oh, is that a davar shel kedusha? That there should be a klal yisrael? That is the greatest davar shel kedusha of all.
That there be no chil shem shamayim. Where was God? Why didn't he intervene?
That's a davar shel kedusha. That needs a minyan. That needs a minyan. Is there any moment at which the ban is lifted? There certainly is a moment at which it is lifted. So this I'll take you into Parshat Miketz. They've come down to Mitzrayim for the first time. Perek Menbet, Perek 42. Perek 42.
Yosef has accused them of being spies. They've come to spy out the land. He incarcerates them. Then he says, "At Chamishi, we'll start over there, Pasuk Yutet. Im kenimaten, if you are honest people, achichem echad, one brother ye oser b'beit mishmachem, one brother is going to be put into prison, v'atem and you lechu go, haviu bring, sheder ravon b'techem, that which will break the hunger of your homes. That achichem hakatzon, taviu elai, bring your small brother unto me, v'ye onnu divrechem, then I will know that your words are truthful, v'lo tamusu, and you will not die, v'yasuchem." And they did so. Here they are, 22 years later, they are standing before the man who is the power in Mitzrayim, and they are accused of being spies. They've been put into prison, they've now been released, their brother is going to be held in prison. Vayomru ish el achiv. They said to one another, "Avol ashemim anachnu, we are guilty. Alochinu, about our brother asheroinu tzorat nasho, we saw his terrible trouble. Bidchanenu elenu, he begged us not to do it. V'lo shamanu, we didn't listen. Al kein, therefore bo elenu atzor hazos, therefore this terrible trouble has befallen us." 22 years later, the first moment at which they see that they are suffering, and they know instinctively why they are suffering. And more than that, you know what they say? Aval ashemim anachnu, we are guilty. Not you're guilty or he's guilty, we are guilty. At this moment, the fact that they've been able to come to HaKadosh HaChet, they recognize that they have sinned, now the Chelem is over. Because look at the next pasuk. Vayan Ruvain Otam Leimor. Ruvain, who had agreed to remain silent, said to them, "Halo Amarti Aleichem, I told you, Al Techetu Vayelet, don't sin with the boy, for lo shematani, you didn't listen, the Gam Tomo Hinei Yidrosh, his blood is being demanded of us." When they finally achieve the moment of saying, "Avol Hashemim Anachnu, we are guilty," that was what was accomplished by the Chelem. They shouldn't tear themselves apart irreparably by blaming one another. We're guilty. I always say this with regard to all sorts of issues in the contemporary Jewish world. Ad Hayom Hazeh, we are blaming one another for the Shoah. Zionists blame religious Jews blame Zionists. Everybody forgets to blame Hitler. If there is any blame that not enough was done, then the only one thing can be said. Aval ashemim anachnu. We all carry a burden of guilt that we didn't do enough. American Jewry didn't do enough. Jewry in other countries of the world didn't do enough. Eretz Yisrael didn't do enough. And maybe in the final analysis, even doing more would never have helped, because we were up against a satanic creature that the world has not yet seen. But we tear ourselves apart by the recriminations, and it's always blaming the other one. Me, I'm guilty. I did whatever I could. The other guy is guilty. Hey, my shame, and they're the ones who are guilty.
The only time that it can ever be tshuva is where there's hakaras hachet, when I have the courage and the honesty to stand up and say, you know what, I didn't do enough. I didn't do enough. We're all guilty. We should all have done more. Never again. I have another question. If the brothers have now done tshuva, the chayim is lifted, why doesn't Yosef turn to them now and say, I am your brother Yosef. I'm the one. Little more. You're both close. Very close. At the same time that they say, Abba Hashem, Imanachnu, we're guilty, they're permitting Yosef to walk off with Shimon and hold him in prison. If their tshuva is complete tshuva, do you know what they should have told Yosef? Don't you dare lay a hand on Shimon. We'll destroy all of Mitzrayim. They leave Mitzrayim and they leave their brother, a Yiddish king, Shimon, behind. They failed the supreme test. The supreme test is when you are faced with precisely the same circumstances and you don't do the sin again. Yosef's heart is breaking. And you know what he knows now? He has no choice. He's going to have to set the stage and the scene all over again in order to give them the opportunity to do, as the Rambam says, tshuva shlema. Tshuva shlema, the same circumstances. And you don't do the avela. You know what he's going to have to do? They're going to have to bring Binyamin. And he frames Binyamin. And he tells them, I'm going to take Binyamin as a slave. And at that moment, Yosef waits with tension and anxiety. What's going to happen now? And finally, Vayigash Elav Yehuda, Yehuda goes over. Yehuda pleads. Yehuda begs. Yehuda says, I will take the boy's place. Take me. I will serve you better than him. And according to the Medrash, he also tells him, listen, ki kamocha kefaro, in the event that you don't release the boy, the chevra over here, mekenen chorev machen amitzrayim, we can do a job amitzrayim. The moment Yosef hears that, he knows that the cycle is complete. They sinned. They have all assumed guilt. They've taken the blame upon themselves. And you know what they've now done? Tshuva. But not stam tshuva. The tshuva now is tshuva shlema. Because here they are faced with the same situation and they're not going to permit a Jewish child to be kept in its name under no circumstances. It's only then that Yosef finally tells them, Ani Yosef, I am Yosef. He's able to reveal himself. And therefore, until the end of Sefer Bereshit, as we say, what happens is a family torn apart begins to repair itself, begins to be healed, in order that that family should be able to have grown immeasurably from the crisis and the tragedy that they had brought upon themselves, until they finally become those who are capable of being Shifteikah, the tribes that are going to be a Jewish people. So here we have I believe just about all of the approaches. Did any one of them ever tell Yaakov? I believe the Ramban is right. Nobody ever told him. Even Rashi that says that he knew, it's because he suspected. He began to put things together and he most probably pressed until he finally got the answer. Did the Rabbeinu let him tell? No. Magid Devarav LeYaakov, the one who tells things to Yaakov, Dovah Zelo Higid. This he didn't tell. Silence over here is not a conspiracy of silence, but it's a silence of Kedusha, it's a silence of sanctity, in order that they should be able to reach the point in time at which they say, Avol Hashem Anachnu, that we are guilty, that they should have the courage, the
courage to say, yes, we all made a mistake. We all shared the guilt. Those who did and those who remained silent. And of course, what we have to wait for at the end is until they are ready to demonstrate by action, never again, that they're not going to permit this to ever happen again. So that the end of Parshat Vayechi, a family, is brought together again. I will entertain questions now. Anybody want to ask questions? Yes. Once I have the answer, I can. According to the Ramban, what's being demonstrated is the greatness of the Yosef. He doesn't tell his father. That's what the Ramban, the Ramban that we learned at the very beginning. Yosef will not tell his father his whole life. Now, that's not greatness. You know what? We need anybody who's ready to listen to our tzavos, and boy, they're in trouble. We'll tell them everything. Yosef ben Musaro Hatov. It means here is a person who had been hurt. Hurt? What are you talking about? Can we compare anything to what the brothers did to Yosef to take a brother and sell him off into slavery? And Yosef ben Musaro Hatov, the Ramban says, will not reveal it. Won't tell his father. And that's greatness. That's greatness. We open up our mouths and we say all sorts of things that we shouldn't say. Very often we bite our tongue afterwards. We're upset with ourselves and we say it. Yosef doesn't say it. According to Rashi, yes, Rashi sees a word in Torah that seems to indicate that, yes, we have to know how to learn Pshat. And you know, we also learn, even according to Rashi, that Yaakov did know. Take a look at how he handled it. Even when he, at the end of his life, it means he didn't say a word until the end of his life. He didn't do anything that would upset his own relationship with his children until the very end of his life. And even then, as Rashi points out, do you know what Yaakov does? He curses the anger and the fury of Shimon Halevi, but he doesn't curse Shimon Halevi. You know what I mean? It shows us how great people are operating and how they conduct themselves under such awesome and frightening circumstances. It was worth me saying this year just for that. Yes?
You're saying that Yosef doesn't tell his father.
Yes.
How is it that Yosef told his father at the very beginning all the things his brothers were doing? Now all of a sudden...
You know what?
Do
you know what? Good question. The Sedra Parshat Vayeshev begins with Yosef bringing all sorts of tales to his father about his brothers. So do you know what? Yosef also does tshuva. The Yosef who in his youth, in his childishness, goes bringing all sorts of tales to his father, will never open up his mouth to tell the greatest or the worst tale of them all. He also did tshuva. Two questions, two very good questions. Oh, now you have to, but you have to follow now. Yes. 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 I didn't want to reveal that last week. Then you would have asked me last week that my whole shiur was only according to Rashi. Yes, it was according to Rashi. Yes. In fact, the Gemara says that. The Gemara says, take a look at what favoring one child over the other, take a look at what came as a result of that. The Gemara indeed says that.
that he was wrong in doing it. And more than that, the Gemara in Megillah also talks later about when Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, he gives Binyamin Chalifot Shmolot 5 times. So you have to look at the Rashi there to see the Mefarshim, and there's a Gemara on it that he was justified in doing what he did, but otherwise, certainly, he should not have shown favoritism. Yes? Very good. So first of all, I don't agree with the last part of the statement. That already, I'd have to give a whole shiur. Yitzchak knew very well what was going on in his own home. How he knows, I don't know. Very often the Medrash will say something like Nitznitza bo ruach hakodesh. But that would be a problem. Why didn't he tell? So that's what Rashi points out. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to tell, I should reveal that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not ready to reveal. The only thing is I have a problem with Yitzchak knowing through Ruach HaKodesh. If Yitzchak knows through Ruach HaKodesh, that means God did reveal it. No problem. Question. The Hayden was, nobody should tell the father Yaakov. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu could tell Yitzchak. And you know why he would tell? You know why he would tell Yitzchak? Does Yitzchak have to be aggravated that an ainikel is lost? Understand the matter now.
He doesn't
live to the end of the story. Why does Yitzchak, during the last few years of his life, have to live with the possibility that an ainikel has been torn apart? So therefore, he does. And you know what? You'll see also. Everybody chooses the right moment to reveal things. There's one of the great Rashis of all time. In Parashat Vayechi, maybe we'll say the Vayechi, but at least to point out there, Yaakov asks Yosef, "Al not tigbereini b'Mitzrayim, don't bury me in Mitzrayim, take me back to Eretz Canaan." So there's the famous pasuk, "Vani bevoi mi padan meisa olai Rachel baderech." When I came from Padan Aram, your mother Rachel died on the road. And what does he say? I didn't even take her. "Vani bevoi mi padan meisa olai Rachel beretz Canaan baderech ba'od kivrat eretz." When there was still a little kivrat eretz lavo Efrat, to come to Efrat, for ekbedei Hashem, I buried her there baderech Efrat. He beit lechem on the way to Efrat, which is Beit Lechem. So Rashi, beautiful Rashi. I don't know if you remember when we were Tindalach, the Rebbe used to teach us that Rashi. There was a sorrowful melody. Ani bevoi mi padan. So Rashi over there says it's a Rashi. You have to learn and learn it over and over again. Rashi says, I didn't even take her into Beit Lechem. I buried her there on the road. Yaakov tells his most beloved son Yosef at the end of his life, "Yadati shiyesh belibcha alai." I knew that you hold it against me. I knew a lifetime that you hold it against me, that your mother, I didn't even bother to take her in to Beit Lechem to bury her. Avodalecha. I want you to know. Shalpi had Bibur Kivarti Hashem. I buried her there because this was the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shetehele Ezra Lebonel. She should be a source of assistance and aid to her children. Kishi Yigleu Tam Nevuzaradim, and Nevuzaradim is going to send them into dollars. For you Ovim Derek Shom, as they went out into exile after Churban Abayit, and they passed by Kever Rachel. Yotza Rachel Al Kivra. Rachel goes out over her grave, who bocha, and she cries under that keshet rachamim. And then Rashi brings the psukim that we quoted earlier, called the Rama Nishma, Rachel Mavaka Albanel Me'an Olehi Nachem. But to hear Yaakov at the end of his life to his most beloved son, he says, "I knew, Yadati, I knew she is belibcha alai, that you hold it against me. But you should know that I buried her there because that was the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu." I always wondered, why didn't Yaakov tell him 50 years earlier? Yosef, don't hold it against me that I buried your mother on the road. She's there for a divine purpose. God wants me to bury her. You know why he didn't tell? You know why he didn't tell Yosef? Does Yosef have to carry with him for 50 or 60 years the knowledge that there's going to be a Churban Bet HaMikdash. Jews are going to be taken in chains, off into exile.
You know what Yaakov does? At the last possible moment, he reveals, you don't have to say everything.
Maybe that's the message of the whole scene.
You don't have to say everything. You have to wait for the precise moment.
Yaakov waits for the right moment to speak to Shimon Velevi.
Yaakov waits for the right moment, the very last moment, the moment at which he needs Yosef's favor. Please don't bury me here. Take me to Eretz Canaan. I know that you hold it against me. I didn't even take your mother into Beit Lechem. God wanted me to do that.
Does he have to tell him?
Why does he have to tell him?
The best thing to learn from all of this is you don't say anything until you have to, until it's beneficial, until something good is going to come from it.
No, Yosef would have understood. If Yaakov would have told him, listen,
you know what? I'm going to go one step further.
In a sense, if Yaakov would have told him earlier,
you know what? Yaakov would have been placing the blame on HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
He would have been saying, listen, Yosef,
you know, if it would be up to me, of course, I'd take your mother into Beit Lechem. I build a big kever, Kurat Rachel Al Hayom Hazeh. I put Israeli soldiers all around it. I would do a great job. The only reason why I'm not doing it is because God told me.
That's not Yaakov. That's not Yaakov. Yes.
No, there are things that have to be said and things that should not be said. All right, we've said enough for tonight.